to Shuffling Deadcast, the ShufflingDead.com podcast. This is episode 30, the Big 3-0. I'm your host, Noobs, editor-in-chief of ShufflingDead.com, and joining me as always is Shuffling Deadcast co-host, Salsi.
Hello.
Oh, welcome to the very exciting 30th anniversary episode, Salsi.
Thank you. What is it? 4 or 5 months?
It's a lot. It's since early 2010, since January, I think.
Right.
Salsi, what have you got in terms of feedback this week?
Well, I will tell you. Just a quick run across the spectrum. First, starting with YouTube. Remember your old SXX3 review?
Yes.
You did with the Demuser for the GameCube?
I vaguely recall doing those reviews.
Comedy Zone took a stab at you guys today and made a good joke.
Uh-huh.
He said, "You think the controls for tricks are hard? Dude, get that arthritis checked out."
Oh. And that was like 5 years ago,
yeah,
so by now.
Quite frankly,
I'm playing with bony stubs.
Yeah, and so there's nothing else podcast related or no other great YouTube comments,
mm-hmm.
So we'll move on to question of the week. Brought to us by
Westmo. Yeah.
This week he asks, Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Yeah, this is the great debate, isn't it?
Yeah, so quickly to go through them. Merge says, "I do so love that picture, especially the girl with the tricorder, but he doesn't actually say which one he would win."
No. He dodged the question, didn't
he? Wes votes for Star Wars. I would vote for Star Trek only because Star Wars promoted Rat Tails and other such.
Oh, because of episode 1?
Nonsense. You vote for Star Trek. You can't explain that.
Well, my vote was based on how much time you can spend wasting with each franchise.
Right.
Star Trek has 30 damn seasons if you include the animated series.
Yeah, how many episodes in a season?
Well, it depends, but let's say an average of 20 to 25.
Right.
Plus 11 movies at this point.
That's a lot of time wasting.
And then Star Wars, there's 6 main movies, there's that one spin-off movie, and then they did their, like, made-for-TV Ewok stuff.
Yeah, well, Westmo replied to you, says, "Most of that time-wasting potential is bad. How many seasons and spin-offs of Star Trek are just terrible? Voyager, Enterprise?"
Well,
is that your favorite?
Enterprise is, yeah.
Are you offended, sir?
Well, here's the thing that he totally ignores, is the fact that a whole half of the Star Wars movies are bad.
But he says Star Wars, these are the pros. Jedi, Sith, Ewoks, Galactic Wars, Wookiees, Samuel Leroy Jackson with a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much throughout the series except for Samuel.
Well, I think that, I mean, it's pretty obvious Wes is pulling a argumentative fallacy here. He's saying, yeah, well, most of Star Trek is shitty, and then not even commenting on how much of Star Wars is shitty, which is a significant portion as well. And then he just lists a bunch of awesome characters, which, I mean, I am in agreement, they're awesome. Star Trek certainly has a worthwhile cast of heroes itself, so I'm sticking with Star Trek.
So if you have an opinion, and you would like to join us for Ocean 3.
Yes.
In the Nerd Showdown. Go ahead and check out our question of the week. You can easily find it if you go to shufflingdead.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom. We have all our latest questions of the week laid out.
Wow.
And, you can answer that one or some of the past ones.
Well, if that ends things with you, Salsi.
That's it. I'm over. I can go home.
By the way, how could people email us to talk to us podcasters?
If you want to actually talk to us about the podcast, hosts at shufflingdead.com. H-O-S-T-S at shufflingdead.com.
Help us out, folks.
Or go to the Contact Us page, again, on the website, and you can put the Ask Us Anything, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll answer it.
Yeah, I think one of these days we're going to have a 50 questions thing.
That's a good idea.
But if no one else helps, we'll have to make them up for each other.
Jiffy might chip in.
Jiffy might. Jiffy's pretty unproductive. We could post it on the forums and see if anybody else.
Yeah.
That would get people to actually listen to it.
That could be. Well, I don't know. Even then. Who knows, Salsi?
We'll have to get a guest for that one when we do that.
Alright, we're heading into news here. What? Let's see here what we've got for news this week.
Well, I remember last week we were talking so much about net neutrality, and it sort of set you off.
Yes.
You had a bit of a follow-up.
Yeah, that's true. I think this week we're a little bit tech-heavy on site and on the show, aren't we? So, okay. Google had their whole net neutrality surrender session there with Verizon, and that elicited a pretty sad showing of protesters who showed up to Googleplex, which is Google's headquarters. About 100 people showed up, they held up signs, they might have chanted a bit, and eventually they talked their way into the building to hand off, I think it was 300,000 signature strong petition to the gentleman running Google. And I was really amused by the write-up on this one that my source did, Ars Technica. They followed along with these guys, and he asked the guards at the building, can I talk to Vint Cerf, who's that old guy who's kind of credited with inventing the internet, who he works for Google now, and they were like, oh, I don't think he's here right now. Which,
Is he like 80?
He's old, but I'd really like to know what he has to say on this issue.
We'll ask him.
I want to, but I don't have the power of Ars Technica.
So is that all the things then?
No. In fact, there are crazy people out there in the world who actually are in favor of corporations taking over the internet.
Yeah.
Big surprise, it's the wackos who call themselves the Tea Party in the United States. They're all for promoting corporations, and basically they've been tricked into believing that there's no good in government regulation ever, and that they'd rather leave things in the hands of corporations than let the government regulate this at all. But we need government regulation to maintain the openness of the internet. This is what frustrates me about the argument so much. We just need a little bit of government regulation, and then it's totally free market. The alternative is not free market at all. It's like four companies just doing everything and making all the money. Which is more free market, jackasses? God, this makes me angry.
Here's something that makes other people really angry.
Well, IGN, famous gaming website, they put together a list of the 100 greatest Star Wars characters. Which, I mean, it's amusing because, really,
there's only like 80 characters.
I mean, there's six movies.
For Star Wars, sorry. Look, I did it.
What?
They called it Star Trek.
A good word.
You're supposed to get angry.
You know what? I'm distracted by the other things that are angering me right now. So, anyways, they put together this list of 100 greatest Star Wars characters. Right. And as a special aside to this list, they talked to a bunch of celebrities and asked them who their favorite was. You know Jerry Bruckheimer.
Of course. We've talked about him a bit when we talked about Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we talked about Prince of Persia, but we talked about Prince of
Persia. I think we have, and he's behind a lot of nerdy movies like that. And you'd think he'd be a huge Star Wars fanatic, right? But he was like, he said his favorite character was Chewie Bok. Now, I have a question for you, Salsi.
Maybe it's a joke. Is it some sort of joke?
Who the fuck is Chewie Bok? Chewbacca, man. Chewbacca.
Maybe he was trying to say Chewie, and then he just added Bok, just to clarify.
I mean, maybe he just misspoke, but, like, that's pretty shocking.
So, I'm sure some people are outraged.
Do you have a favorite Star Wars character?
Yoda.
All right, here's a little anti-Apple story for you. Somebody was on the Tokyo subway, and their iPod exploded.
Whoa!
Slowing down the train for 8 damn minutes, which, I mean, is a big deal in the streets of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Those trains are notoriously on time.
And this iPod apparently just burst apart.
Yes, exploded.
Is it the battery or what?
I don't know, man. Of course, the headline was, Apple smuggles explosive device onto Tokyo train, which... it's a little bit of me having some fun there.
Yeah.
All right.
But really, anybody who brought a first-gen iPad should just be smacking themselves. I mean, first-gen anything, you know, you're just being a dick who wants the latest period.
Yeah, but we're talking about iPods. Those have been around for a long time.
Oh, sorry, iPods. I thought these were iPads.
No. An iPad exploding, that is a massive undertaking right there.
Be a bit more of an explosion.
Mm-hmm. So here's a little story that Weskimo wrote us, and
Weskimo sure has been productive lately.
Weskimo's really been chipping in, hasn't he? I don't really know what this story's about. Oh, this is
Bye.
An Ontario group of teachers
and parents
Are worried about the Wi-Fi because supposedly their kids mysteriously seem more sick at school than at work.
And they get leaky symptoms. And when they come home from school, they're fine. Weekends are fine. They go back to school, you know, stomach aches, headaches.
Well,
I'm learning as best as I can.
Oh, good jokes, also.
Thanks.
Obviously, this is total make-believe. Westmo points out that there have been a bunch of studies done that show Wi-Fi doesn't cause any of this stuff. It's all just make-believe. I mean, kids pretend to be sick at school, or maybe they're just miserable because they're at school, right?
Well, I think they know that this first round of fighting against Wi-Fi is pretty much down the shitter, but they're not discouraged because they plan to have a crack at it again, quote. Maybe with some language that other people might be willing to get on board with, end quote.
I hate this unscientific bullshit. This is just like Jenny McCarthy and her fucking drugs-causing autism thing.
Well,
it's all make-believe with no scientific backing.
Westcomo suggested she use strong language such as terrorists.
Yeah.
And what's now? That might get people out. I think you should get, he could add SARS.
Yeah. And,
9/11.
Secret Muslim. Yeah. Dirty bomb. All kinds of things going on there.
Child pornography.
Yeah. And that's one we'll talk about a little later, actually. Here we go, Salsi. You know I love my Love Plus stories.
Yeah.
And I love
that Love Plus isn't in English.
Yeah, we really need it over here, don't we?
We could really experience it.
Well,
you know, I looked it up. I did some research.
Okay.
I'm talking about it so much. It takes 100 days.
Yeah.
Of actual real life time.
Oh my god.
Before you can, like, make your confession.
You can't even say you fake love your fake girl until 100 days?
That's when you can ask her out.
Oh my god. You know, I got a strategy for you guys over in Japan. If you're following, if, you know what, this game might actually be causing guys greater hindrance in picking up women. Like, they're actually learning the wrong things.
No, they're learning the right things.
Here's how you pick up chicks. Do you want to learn, Salsi?
No.
You ask them out as soon as you meet them, before they come to know what you're really like.
But if they judge you on appearance, and let's face it, most of these guys are, like, the nerd.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I have a little bit of random trivia for you, Japanese pop culture. We talked about Densha Otoko before. It's a Japanese TV show, and it's based on supposedly real-life events of a 4chaner getting or 2chaner, I should say, getting dating advice on the internet.
Right.
And
everyone should check it out. You can go to d-addicts.com and download it.
And is that legal?
Yeah. Well, it's taken from TV and then fans up, so technically it's not illegal.
Okay. So you probably recall in that show, Salsi, there was one internet couple where the guy had some amazing frizzy hair.
Yeah.
And then his
girlfriend.
That was
the guy that ran the board, according to the story.
Is that true? I'm talking about the guy with the big frizzy hair.
Who did they? Ask Gear.
No, not the Ask Gear.
Oh, you mean the guy and the girlfriend that were always together.
Yes, yes. Well, that guy is famous because he was in a Japanese reality show where he was basically kidnapped, thrown into an apartment naked, and forced to live off the things he won from magazine and contests.
That's pretty funny.
And
how long? 20 days?
It was a long, you know what, he spent a while in the apartment, he won some cash, got out, then they blindfolded him and dropped him in South Korea and told him to get back to Japan, and that was a continuation of the show.
Did he make a trip to North Korea?
I do not think so.
I hope not. Obviously not.
And that's kind of how he became a celebrity, and he got that role. It's Japanese pop culture.
Okay, I have one more at Love Plus related.
Yeah?
Everybody knows. Nobody knows. My favorite author is Haruki Murakami.
Yeah, I can't say that I even knew that.
And one of my favorite books is Dance, Dance, Dance. That's what it's called. Translated by Alfred Birnbaum or something.
Yeah, that's your favorite translator.
He's my favorite translator. I can't read Haruki Murakami unless he translated it.
Right.
Well, if you read Dance, 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 there's this one high school girl who always has headphones on. And she, like, always listens to, like, Western rock music. Her name, Rinko.
Yes.
Was based off that character. I think her name was Yuki or something.
Rinko being
the girl in Love Plus,
right.
The short hair that has headphones.
Right on.
So I've learned that on Wikipedia.
Yeah, so that's the power of Wikipedia there for you. And that is all to say that we have a story about Rinko and Love Plus today. Right. So I guess it was her fake birthday recently in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the whole world. And I found a little article with a bunch of people who submitted their pictures celebrating Rinko's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's like the iPod or what are you, iPad program, Love Plus program. App, I should say, where you can do this augmented reality thing and make it look like she's sitting in your apartment when you do a picture of her. Right. So we've got one here where she's actually sitting on the couch enjoying a big batch of chips. Flavored wasabi chips. And then we had other people. One got her an engraved Zippo. We had people just stock, you know, giving her lots of trinkets.
See, these boyfriends are the best boyfriends.
Look at this. Intricate.
I think this should be like a dating guide, apparently.
Look at this intricate cake someone made her.
These people really care about their girlfriends. So they're not even women.
I have a question. Have you ever received a birthday cake from your boyfriend as well decorated as that?
No, never.
Really?
Yes, this is amazing. Although, it doesn't look chocolate enough for me.
No. Still, they sure got her a lot of stuff, and she's not even real. And what the hell are they going to do with this stuff when they remember she's not real?
Lonely dinner.
Okay, this is more of my net neutrality anger bubbling up here.
This one might get me a little angry, too, since the RIAA is involved.
Yeah, this is, first, some good news, which is a few American politicians are actually sticking up for net neutrality. Mm-hmm. We had a group of four House Democrats saying, they're in favor of net neutrality, but they also kind of said, FCC, you take care of it. Which, my understanding is, the FCC just needs to reclassify the internet in terms of what kind of medium it is.
Yeah.
And then they could mandate this thing. But they're saying, well, we want Congress to tell to pass something. Basically, they're trying to pass the blame. But, of course, the politicians are, you know, corporately owned. They're not going to be in favor of this thing. And then we have my hero, Al Franken, U.S. Senator, who is pretty much the biggest and most outspoken proponent of net neutrality around. He came out and just blasted the bullshit that the corporations and politicians are giving us about net neutrality and cleared things up. And, of course, as always, whenever Al Franken speaks correctly about anything, a bunch of morons reply and comment about how they really are just desperate for corporate control themselves, and are not in favor of the government imposing these regulations at all.
Aren't you glad you listen to such an unbiased program like Something Good?
We're speaking the truth here, folks.
From one bias to another.
24/7, 365.
What's the other part of this story? Let's get to the RIAA.
Oh my god. So the RIAA, they don't think that the Google-Verizon compromise goes far enough.
Yeah.
They want it so that ISPs can basically monitor what you download, and if you're doing anything illegal, they want the ISPs to, like, report it.
Right.
I mean, I would expect nothing less of the RIAA to say something like this. But, like, I mean, how freaking scary is this?
The RIAA is just, you know, sticking up for all the little guys. Musicians, children, probably grandmas.
Speaking of children, Salsi, the RIAA says that the reason they want ISPs to have this kind of power isn't to catch music downloaders necessarily.
Child pornographers.
It's also to catch child pornographers.
Yeah.
Because we know that they're one and the same.
Pretty much.
If you do one, you probably do the other.
Yeah.
Just, oh. Do you have any anger here you'd like to express?
No. Let's talk about this.
Not much to say.
Not much to say. It's really something you have to go out and watch if you haven't watched it already.
This is the internet phenomenon. Fuck me, Ray Bradbury.
Right. Just go to YouTube and type that in.
Or check out our show notes and check out our article and watch the video on our site.
Yeah, 7 people actually like this, so it's gotta be good.
Wow.
Yeah, so no spoilers, just go watch it. Just.
It's hot, guys. Alright, Salsi, we got some MMO stories, so I'm gonna leave those up to you.
Okay, let's talk about more lawsuits. So there's this guy from Hawaii. His name's Craig Smallwood. And he has sued NCSoft, the makers of Lineage 2.
Yes.
And many other Korean-type games. Because It was dangerously addictive, and a federal judge is allowing the case to proceed. He says he's allegedly played 20,000 hours between 2004 and 2009, which is 11 hours a day.
Motherfucker.
And he says his addiction was so severe, he was unable to function independently in usual daily activities, such as getting up, getting dressed, bathing, or communicating with friends and families.
How did he survive, I wonder?
Well, I have to side with him a little bit.
Okay.
Lineage 2 pretty much is all grinding.
Yes. So that's
addictive? But I'm not too sure how you can get addicted to it.
No, don't you just get bored?
Yeah. I guess if it's your personality type.
I guess so.
You made some good jokes at the end here.
Do you think this is at all legitimate?
No, I'm actually kind of surprised there's a lawsuit at all, because I know many MMOs, when you start them up, they say, like, FF11 was a big one.
Right.
Don't play too much. Make sure you remember your school, friends, family, work, and stuff. It'd be like, you have to hit okay every time before you can actually
go. They give you a warning. So I'm curious what kind of warning they give you in this one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see where this goes. Yeah. It's very amusing. And, I mean...
So, Big Softy, he had a really good point.
Yeah, but...
Does this mean I can sue my crack dealer?
Good point. And we should point out, we don't know these people. These are just random internet people commenting on our articles now, yeah. Salsi.
And Suck says he should do something about the name Smallwood before making it famous.
Oh, somebody named FU Forever says... Haha, Big Softly.
We don't have to say every single comment.
I don't know, but I'm trying to...
It was a typo.
What does it mean?
He was replying to Big Softly.
Oh.
My comment was the best, though, is, Mom, toilet, like Cartman.
Yes. So, I mean, if he's addicted to this thing, he's doing 11 hours a day, how did he find time to file a lawsuit?
Well, now he's obviously stopped.
And if you're only playing 11 hours a day, that's plenty of time to work. Here's more internet anger.
Politics.
A little more frustration on my part. So, you probably remember the whole WikiLeaks situation. Well, out of nowhere, very mysteriously, the founder of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, am I saying that correctly?
I don't know.
Suddenly he's being charged with rape and some kind of sexual attack here. Out of nowhere. And then it gets to a judge who immediately says, there's no proof for this, drops it. This is in Sweden. So, I mean, conspiracy theories abound here. People are going nuts. People are convinced this is a government thing. They're trying to make him look bad, trying to send him to jail, trying to silence him, trying to get rid of him. On the WikiLeaks Twitter, they responded saying that someone had tipped them off saying to expect dirty tricks. So, I mean, boom, conspiracy.
Like, right.
This could be legitimate. Governments are trying to, like, fuck with this guy's life.
Nothing new. That's how governments roll.
And then Al Franken, the hero I mentioned previously, had his house shot at, possibly by a BB gun. Probably not a very big deal. But, again, crazy people trying to silence free speech. I mean, that's exactly how I take those stories. They won't rest until corporations own our lives. So we gotta fight, folks. Okay.
Here's how I plan to fight.
Yes. You're going to,
Please explain what my new job will be.
You're going to work for pennies a day, are you?
Yes.
So, there's a story on San Francisco Gate, sfgate.com, where they talked about this new trend of people basically working for fake money, in-game money, basically.
Unless it was EVE Online, then I wouldn't, just because the risk is so great. You could lose it all. But anyway, keep going.
So there was one woman named Amanda Dorsey, 28, who did a whole bunch of really repetitive tasks for this company called Crowdflower Inc. It was like checking search engine links, which, I mean, how dull does that sound? And they paid her in the currency of a kind of an avatar chat game, whatever, called tinierme.com. And she's done a ton of work for them, and she managed to buy a couple of fake clothes for her avatar in exchange for her work. Does that sound remotely worthwhile to you? And then the same article also ran a story of a woman named Tina Wang, who another woman who had some back surgery and decided to spend the time off from work doing similarly repetitive online tasks, earning what are called swag bucks, which can be turned into Amazon gift cards, except that it takes you an entire day to earn $5 worth of Amazon gift cards.
Like 7 hours.
7 hours. So,
Well, you know, these, doing things for ads, isn't anything new. A lot of times on Facebook and stuff, you can get games, and you have to, like, fill out a survey, and then you can get tokens.
Right.
Or, like, some software, actually, instead of, like, paying him much for the software, you have to, like, fill out 3 surveys or whatever.
Yeah. So, I don't know, a good way to spend your time? A possible career path?
Probably.
I noted here that, Amanda Dorsey is an unemployed writer, and I thought, well, why isn't she not earning money blogging instead of not earning money checking
maybe
links?
She found out it's hard to make money blogging.
Kids at home, don't live with the illusion that it's easy to make money blogging. I can tell you it's a lot of work, and we're not there yet.
So I think that wraps us up for news.
All right, in that case, let's find out, well, what else we did on the site this week.
We do have some other things to talk about. So let's start with Shane Polkman of the week.
Yes. Who the hell is this guy? Oh, this article I was really excited to talk with you about, so I'll see.
Right.
This guy's name is Chris Henderson. He's the editor-in-chief of Wired, which, of course, is the magazine and also the website, wired.com. He did this big feature article called The Web is Dead.
Right.
Which was this whole argument that, obviously not the internet, is on the downturn, but he's claiming that the web, the browsing, the internet websites, the stuff you do through your browser is supposedly on the decline, being replaced with things like, Apple apps, you know, your Xbox connection,
I think he means, like, instead of mindlessly surfing, you're more like, when you're online, you're in your own little bubble with, like, your Facebook, your follow or Foursquare, you know, that sort of network where you no longer feel a need to, like, mindlessly surf around stuff.
Well, he's comparing what you do in your browser with apps and that sort of thing. Things that don't use the browser at all.
Right.
Things that just connect through the internet.
It limits your bubble.
Yes, that's right. Because, obviously, it's using the internet, but you're not going to go outside of that bubble either.
Right.
So, I thought we'd start by discussing this ridiculous graphic that he included with his article here. Now, this is a measure of bandwidth.
Right.
And it's showing what activities on the internet, how much bandwidth they use relative to the other activities on the
starting
internet.
Starting in 1990 and going all the way up to 2000.
So, I mean, the first problem is it's relative to everything else.
Right.
So, the web part is the major part on here, really, and it looks like it's in decline.
Right.
But, I mean, in hard numbers, web usage is actually still going on today.
Right.
It's just that it's much less bandwidth intensive than all the other things people
and
do.
And the other funny thing is video is it's in its own category.
Right.
And I'm sure he means like YouTube or Vimeo, but a lot of times it's sort of integrated into your web browsing.
Exactly.
Experience.
I mean, that might also be like Netflix, right? Which is
which is
one of those bubble apps.
Strange country based as well.
Yes.
Like in Canada, we don't even have it yet.
Yes.
So, but I'm sure our video is still it's a huge chunk.
Yeah, absolutely. And peer to peer is pretty stable. And then what I found really amusing is there's this category called Other he's got. And it goes from medium use to almost none at the end here in 2020.
Well, I like how email has gone from sort of to, like, none.
I mean, that's just, the email thing is perfect example of this being bandwidth-based. Obviously, email usage is massive. To say it's this tiny sliver of nothing is ridiculous.
Right, some people don't ever go on the web except to check their email.
Absolutely. And then,
talking to you, old people.
Okay, these apps that he's saying are taking over, and things like Xbox online gaming.
Right, where are they?
What category do those fit in? Might it be Other? That tiny 3% sliver?
I don't know, because Other wouldn't be that big in 1990. Like,
well, but it's...
Yeah, everything
it's
else what, as well.
It could be anything. But my point is, in 2010, he's got 3 major categories plus a little sliver for Other.
Right.
Web, peer-to-peer, and video.
Well, a fee might be on there, an email might be on there.
Well, it, you can see, yeah, they've turned into tiny little minuscule portions of it. Right. Where the fuck are these apps that are taking over? Where do those fit into this chart of yours, Mr. Genius here? I'm so angry at this guy because this is totally misleading.
Well, I think some people covered the article and I was reading it.
Yeah.
I think you linked it in the article. People were sort of laughing about, here it is. Gawker was saying it's sort of just a grab for attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% what it is. And,
so I wouldn't get to work.
One of the things they point out about his write-up is that he published it on the web first before his magazine.
Well, maybe he just means, like, he's not saying the web is dying or whatever. It just means the web as we know it is being used in a different way. Like, totally different way.
Well, let's be careful here.
Like, a kid
the internet.
Our age see it not being affected so much, but a kid in high school now who has had an iPhone its entire life has a totally different concept of the internet.
Right, he's just doing the apps.
Right.
Yeah.
Or he does the other stuff, but not as much as, like, you and I would.
Right. He might just stick to Facebook and email, and you
and like, his two favorite sites.
And you and I are doing 100 different blogs a day.
Right.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it, right?
I mean, I'd be very curious to find out if the total number of different websites people visit has actually gone down. I feel like there are a few core sites that people will generally gravitate to.
Right.
And then, I mean, depending on whether or not those sites are linking outwards, like, I feel like in the good old days, let's say 2000.
You gotta go with it, though. You can't
keep that online. You might have just done the search engine and found random things, right? But these days, the only time you go to websites that you're not familiar with is if they're linked to on Dig or your friend's Facebook account or something. But otherwise, you're just going to Facebook and Gmail and Wikipedia and YouTube, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's something that I think is legitimate and we could talk about. But this idea that...
Maybe that's what he's doing in the...
This guy is
he's
just...
He's raising conversations about it anyway.
Yes, he certainly is.
So I give him props
but,
for that.
But mostly I think he's just attention-grabbing for hits on his website, which, by the way, is quite profitable. So stick it up your ass, Chris Anderson.
So that's it for things of the week as well. We've kind of stopped doing other things of the week.
Yeah, we're really slacking here, Salsi.
So you want to talk about another Westcombe article?
He returned to his movie review he did a while ago of Constantine because he felt he hadn't expressed his hatred adequately. So he wrote up another 600 words talking about how much he hated it.
Right. Some things I think we might have first talked about on the podcast. So this might be a little recap of all the other things he hates, which he didn't go into on his original
thing. He's complaining about how totally illogical the Shia LaBeouf character is.
Right.
He hates on Keanu prodigiously. Is that the right term?
Yeah.
Calling him Neo, of course, every time. And basically the total preposterousness of the whole thing.
Right. So, yeah, check on that if you want to join the hate list. And then we have another review, this one by News.
Yep. I actually wrote an article this week, and man, this was an undertaking, if I do say so. Salsi, you and I saw a movie that I'm going to go ahead and call Incredible.
Wait, I would agree with Incredible.
I think we could probably spend a good chunk of time here talking about this film. This was Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Right.
So I wrote a very high opinion, high praising article, gave 4.5 skulls out of 5.
Right.
What would you have given it?
You know what, I'd say 4.5 is probably about right.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell me all the things you thought were so great about it.
Here's the thing about Scott Pilgrim that I didn't get until I went and saw it.
Okay.
I saw the trailer. I saw it was about this kid, Michael Cera, crazy hipster, who had to, like, fight, like...
The evil exes.
Evil exes of this hot chick. And I was like, this has no interest to me at all. Like, it's a stupid other... What was that other Michael Cera movie we saw?
Juno?
No, the other one. The one we just saw.
Some teens in distress or something. I can't remember what it was called.
Teens in Revolt or Youth in Revolt.
Youth in Revolt.
Yeah. I thought that was a terrible movie. And I thought this was going to be another sort of Youth in Revolt type.
Really?
Yeah, I had no idea the comic book and video game influence.
Right.
Which I didn't think the trailer showed at all.
No, I don't think they sold this movie very well, did they?
So let's hear your take.
So, the film is about Michael Cera playing Michael Cera once again.
Right.
He meets this young lady. So, I mean, they did convey this in the trailer, of course. And then we find out about his life. He's not had great luck with, well, I should say, he's kind of a jerk to women, isn't he? He's dating this 17-year-old. He has no interest in her.
He's got an interest in her. It's just not that great.
He
ends up finding something better.
He has no emotional involvement. He's kind of leading her on, I think. He's in a band. He's got some history with...
He's treating women actually really nice because they, like, he didn't just use it for sex or anything. He, like, hardly even held hands with her. He was just the type of guy that couldn't go there.
You think so?
He was the type that would play Love Plus and have a 100-day progression. And he just hadn't got there with Myers yet.
He's having a rough time of his personal life. Right. He's also unemployed. He's basically mooching off his roommate here, who, by the way, his roommate is played by Kieran Culkin.
Yeah, who is excellent.
Just a great actor and a great character.
I'm so sad.
Such a good character, that Kieran Culkin.
Yeah.
Too. And then he falls into this Seven Evil Exes battle thing, which... the basic structure of the film is just like a video game where it's like defeat seven bad guys, collect the seven magical gems, right? And there's so much to that video game influence intertwined. It's very much an homage to games. It's a parody of games. There's just a mass of references to classic games. I'm telling you, there are like four at least Zelda references right in here.
Some would say Dog Dick had a 30 video game reference thing, but half the list was kind of stupid and obvious. It was like money in arcades.
Yeah. I mean, when he beats an evil axe, money falls out, which is hilarious. Like, there are drops. And then, of course, it's also very much an action film in addition to being kind of a teen comedy as well.
I would say romantic comedy.
It's a bit of a romantic comedy and an action movie, because... Yeah. The fights are awesome, too, and the effects are really well done. The people he battles are very interesting in and of themselves. But I think what really drives the film and makes it so great is the fact that these are, like, real characters to me. They're played well, they're cast well, they're written spectacularly.
The end guy. I didn't like the end guy.
You didn't like Jason Schwartzman?
That looked like Tom Cruise in the Ben Stiller
movie. Yes. Tropic Thunder. You thought so, did you?
I can get it out.
Well, I'm a big fan of that actor, so I won't be critical. But, I mean, just the whole thing, as a character piece, as an action movie, as a comedy, it all works spectacularly.
Right.
So go ahead. What's your review?
No, I've already talked enough about it. I say we're done. Just go see it. It's a good movie.
It's so good. It's made, like, no money, folks. You gotta go see it. You gotta help them out.
So, otherwise, this week, we did a definitive SNES game.
Yes.
We gave a spoiler last week. It had to do with something we talked about last week, and this week as well. So, can you
That's
spoil
right.
it now?
Number 47 is Super Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Which, you know, when I went back and played it, I was like, man, this game is pretty good, isn't it? Like, it's a 2D action platformer.
1994.
Yeah, it's a fun game. All three of those Super Star Wars games are on Virtual Console. They're all decent. I just kind of went with this one since it's the best of the three. And, I mean, it's up to you if you really want all three. But I'd say at least check one of them out.
Right. And then the other video you and Apocalyptic Girl did was the SDGR, Shelving Dead Game Review.
Yeah.
And that was Dragon Quest IX, Sentinels of the Starry Sky.
Something long title. And, yeah, I'd hinted that we were doing something regarding questing for dragons, which is a pretty obvious hint, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And, well, that was another great game, very much in the lineage of the Japanese RPGs, and totally a DS game worth checking out right there. Of course, there are a lot of DS RPGs, but that's got to be one of the absolute best.
Right.
You did the footage for that game. Did you find yourself enjoying it?
Well, I know you made a comment about it being, like, Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
but it's more like Ragnarok 3D, which was a huge flop.
Okay.
but, I mean, I felt like I'll probably play around with it more later.
Yeah.
I finally got to the part where you can add party members, and I like the way you can recruit people and then like, dress them up any way you like. That's great. Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of customization of characters in that game, which is...
It's a lot of things that you're like, oh, if I did a video game, I'd do it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in there. Yeah.
And they're so smart about the enemies as well. You can actually see them on the damn field when you're walking around, which drives me insane in just about every RPG in existence. So
do we have any other topics to talk about?
We could preview our videos for next week.
Oh, yeah. So, what's your definitive 50 next?
Here's the hint, folks.
Right.
It has something to do with running a large multinational corporation.
That could be anything.
Yes.
Is it Tron?
That's my hint. It's not Tron.
Is there a Tron video game?
There have been many.
And what's your hint for shutting the game reviews?
It has something to do with Tron-like aesthetics.
This one people won't guess anyway. So no. I think we should just go ahead and tell them.
It's Let's Tap, future tapping game. Let's Tap,
like a Wii.
Let's Tap. It's a Wii game, that's right.
Yeah.
So,
again, with Apocalyptic Girl.
That's
so
right.
Stay tuned for that.
So, see, guess how many likers we have on Facebook right now?
Last time I checked, it was around 90-something.
It's 95. 95. Five away from 100. 100. Where we get our custom URL.
Don't be so selfish. What's in it for them if they do it?
If you sign up to our Facebook account, you get to see the Best of Shuffling Dead link in your Facebook feed. You'll see when our new article is coming in.
And you get your nerd cred.
You get some nerd cred right there. And you really help us out. So help the show, help the site, help yourself become a fan today.
Okay, how can they do that?
If you go to our front page, there's a nice Facebook box right on there, or you can go to Facebook and search for ShufflingDead.com.
Oh, right.
Other ways you can check out the Shuffling Dead Empire. You can learn more about everything you've heard today on the show by visiting ShufflingDead.com. We do show notes linking to all the stories we covered. Check us out on Twitter at Twitter.com/ShufflingDead. Follow us on Facebook, as I said. Or see our videos at youtube.com/marnax, that's M-A-R-N-A-X. And finally, contact Solsi and I directly to talk about this show. We will read your comments on the air, and if you've got any personal questions for us, we'd love to hear them, or just our opinion, anything you could possibly think of.
Or even just, like, we could hear from Neville again.
Neville, if you're still out there, come on. We want to hear what you're up to.
Come on. Pity you, though.
So that is hosts@shufflingdead.com. hosts@shufflingdead.com. What are you looking at me for?
That might be one time too many.
Okay. Let's wrap it up there, folks, Salsi.
Folks, Salsi.
Let's wrap it up there, Salsi. Thanks for listening.